Oh, hey, everybody. I'm in the car again. I love being in the car. I love it. It's the best place to be. It's, it's kind of become my inner scrotum. Sanctum. Went for a flight last week. You hear about this? These flights people are taking? I mean, I don't know. It's hard. It's almost hard to talk, and it's also hard to not talk about air travel because it's so terrible. You know what I mean? It's like the worst thing in the world. And it's, you know, something that everybody makes fun of and everybody says the same shit about, but it's like, I don't know. I mean, that probably says something, right? What else do people complain about as much as that? I don't know if there's anything on earth that as many people have spent complaining about. You know what I mean? You could do a whole festival where just every person gets up and talks about a plane flight for 15 minutes, and it would be like its own little comedy festival, you know, that no one wanted to go to and nothing good came out of. But it would be a thing that's possible. You could not do that on really any other topic, right? Be like, oh, first time home buying. Oh my god, do I have a lot to say about that? So, went to Connecticut for Allison's cousin's wedding. So, you know, we get to the airport, park in the middle of fucking nowhere. And, you know, walk in and do all that shit. I have a real problem with, you know, so I did not check the bag. I carried the bag on. But, I mean, it was a small bag. Smaller than my torso. You know, easily carried on to double. As was hers, you know, and we were ready. We had our plastic bag and everything. Does this happen to everybody? I feel like every time I get in the security line at the airport, there's some other guy in line who's, you know, two people in front of me. First time that he's ever been in line at the security at the airport. He has no idea what's going on. He's never even seen a line that zigzags back and forth, those cattle corral type things. This is his first experience with that, too. You know, this is all new to him, all novel. Everything about it is going to be a big adventure, you know? Pee-wee's big adventure is happening right there, and he doesn't know that he had to check his bicycle into checked baggage, that he couldn't carry on his bike. You know, he gets up there, he doesn't know what to do with his shoes. He's trying to do all this and that. Inevitably, he goes in the thing, and they're like, "Sir, you need to remove your belt," and he gives them a look like, "Are you kidding me? I have to take off my belt?" You know, it's like, well, you have to take off your fucking shoes. I mean, what do you think you're allowed to leave on? And it's gotten worse, too. Now they don't even let you, you can't even have your wallet in your pocket or, like, paper or anything. You know, they'll be like, what do you got there? What's happening in that wallet, you know? I don't know what they're afraid that you're bringing on. Or, you know, I don't know. I shaped an explosives like a wallet. I don't even know if that's possible. You know, I guess you could just get a lump and paint it brown, hope that no one notices. When you take out your wallet, that it doesn't open or do anything like that, a kid's wallet. Or maybe you get like a kid's wallet, because kid wallets always have a coin pocket in them. I think that's how you know you have a child's wallet, or like a big lady's wallet. But if you're a man and your wallet has a coin zone in it, you have the wrong wallet. So I guess you could just stuff that with something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much damage people can cause with an explosion that size. They blow out a window, and then what happens? Then you have to wear that oxygen mask, and it's very uncomfortable. And your garbage gets sucked out the window instead of having to get put in that little bag. I think it'd be okay. I think we'd survive. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. By any stretch of the imaginations. So, you know, you go through all this shit, and then there's the guy who's just like, I don't know. And you know where he gets real fucked up is the part where you have to get, you get these little trays, these bins. You know, they're like, if you were, like, in school, and you had a desk in elementary school that was hollow, and sometimes they would shove a bin in there so you could just put all your stuff in this bin and then pull it out. So it was sort of like a drawer, which made a lot of sense. I don't know why these desks didn't have drawers built in, because really, I mean, it's just a big hollow thing that you have to reach deeply into, blind, or make the desktop clear or something. I mean, how are you supposed to even know what's in there? How are you supposed to get through all that shit? So they'd put a bin in there. These are the kind of bins that you put your items in at the airport, you know. And now, the average has gotten to, by the way, where everyone needs two bins. So I don't know why they don't make these bins a little longer. Because if you have to take off your shoes, your coat, and put your bag in there, that's already a bin. You know, and let alone if you have liquids or drills or a laptop. We had an incident coming back, too, so we got some jam at the wedding. And it was in the bag, and it was over the amount just a little, but they let it slide, you know. But to me, it was like, first of all, the one rule is unclear, because it's a certain amount. You can only have, like, a 3-ounce thing, and these were, like, 3.5 ounces. But if you had three 3-ounce containers, that would be okay. But if you had two 3.5-ounce containers, that's not allowed. Even though it's the same amount of gel or liquid. It's the same volume, but it's not... It's like, I don't know, I mean, the people there are so dumb that they can't work out the math of, you know, total amount of gel or whatever fits in this package or something. And also, I mean, since when is jam a liquid or a gel? Jelly, I could see, even though it's spelled with a J instead of a G. At least it's a homophone. You know, gel, jelly kind of thing. So I could understand sort of what they were saying. But jam, I mean, is that a gel? So is peanut butter a gel? I wouldn't consider peanut butter a gel, but I mean, for all I know, I don't really know what the properties are that make something from a thing into a gel, you know? I mean, I can say definitively that a piece of rope is not a gel, but I cannot say that peanut butter is not a gel. I mean, the only things that I know for sure are gels are the things that are called gels, you know? Bathroom stuff. That seems to be where we're using most of our gels. I don't know, are other people using gels and other... on things besides their bodies? I don't, you know, what other gels are there, really? I don't even know. Jelly, if we're counting that. Gelatin? I mean, could you bring Jell-O? Is that a gel? Once it's solidified, what if you brought just the packet of the powder? And then you mixed it up on the plane. Oh my god, imagine the horror. You know, and then you get in the airport. Then there's always this asshole, too. So we're sitting at the gate. And the place we're going is up on the little marquee thing, you know. The whole time we're sitting there, it's like, here's where your plane's going. Here's what time it arrives. And we watch this couple come over. It's like, you know, this... I don't know when this became such a staple. But, like, rail-thin hillbilly guy with a big fat lady in a wheelchair. This seems to be the most common pairing. I don't know if it's like hillbillies are attracted to big fat ladies in wheelchairs, or maybe if hillbilly ladies just all sort of eventually turn into big fat ladies in wheelchairs, perhaps. I'm not sure what the, you know, the causation and whatnot is on this, but something's going on there. There's something up. This has gone beyond just, like, a tendency towards attraction or a stereotype or something. This is, like, a thing that's happening. So they're sitting across from us, you know, and we're admiring his very luxurious purple shirt. You know, it was like a Southwestern-style shirt, like something you would expect a guy who works at an Aztec casino to wear, maybe, where it's got this blocky purple shapes on top of a black shirt. It was very classy and nice. I could see why he elected to wear that while flying. And they sat there for must have been a half hour. And then at some point they start making an announcement like, hey, we'll be boarding for Hartford pretty soon, da-da-da-da. Guy looks up like, holy shit! You know, and starts looking around and suddenly realizes they're at the completely wrong gate. Now, I don't know what happened. Perhaps his ticket was incorrect and said the wrong gate, or he just, I don't know, maybe they just sat down somewhere. They're just like, I don't know, you just sit wherever. It's like a bus station, and you just kind of sit there and wait. But they were definitely getting on the wrong fucking plane for a half hour, and then quickly realized, and they had to, like, throw her in the wheelchair and wheel off. There was also a guy wearing a real nice American flag button-up shirt, you know, where it's like the flag draped vertically over his gut and tucked in. He had one of those weird guts, too, where it's not... full. It's like a sheet hanging off of him, you know, a flap. He's got a flap at the bottom that you feel like you could, like, blah, 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 back and forth. So he had to tuck his shirt in, and it was sort of tucked underneath, so you could see the full contours of this flap that he had going. It was beautiful. You know, and it's like this crazy... The whole shirt is an American flag. You know, the front, the back, the sleeves, the whole shirt. Except for the collar. You know, I guess they couldn't incorporate the collar into the American flag. So just take a moment and guess. I bet you could guess what material constituted the collar of a shirt that's an American flag. I'll give you a moment. You're right, it was denim. How did you know? How could you have possibly guessed that this ridiculous American flag shirt would have a denim collar? Who would have thought we lived in such a world of possibilities and magic? So he was looking good. You know, and you can't help but wonder, because you see the people walking through the airport, and clearly some of them are dressed up, but I can't tell if they're dressed in, this is like, this is my fly-in outfit, or if they're like, this is my stepping-out clothes, or if they're just... If this is what that guy wears day to day, I have a feeling it was kind of a special outfit. You know what I mean? Like, this is my cool American flag shirt. I don't know. Like, the ladies, too. The way ladies are dressed is hilarious because it's a complete range of... You know, you'd see the girl who's in, like, short, pajama-type shorts, you know, that are made from bathrobe material and UGG boots and like a tank top. She looks like you got her out of bed as a prank, you know, and she's still hungover and rushed her to the airport just for fun, you know. Then you've got just the moderate sweater, jeans, athletic shoes or something. Then you've got, we had a lady who I swear to Christ was like the real life version, the real life 2000s version of Cruella de Vil. You know, she's very tall and skinny and had these huge heels on and like the brightest white coat I've ever seen in my life. You know? She must have been at the security, and when they said, oh, you put your coat through here, I would think she would have said, huh, are you kidding? This is pure Dalmatian puppy fur. We do not put this through a conveyor belt. This does not touch things that metal or plastic shitty school bins go down. This is a Dalmatian coat, my friend. Have you ever seen one? No, because it's the only one, because this is very illegal. It's just all over the map. You know what I mean? And we flew Southwest, which people seem into. I don't know. I find their system to be insane. Not because of their own fault, but because I think they have expectations that are unrealistic. Because here's what happens. You know, you get put in group A, B, or C. Group A boards first, and it's like A1 through 20, you know, so you're given a group, but you don't have a seat assigned to you, just based on when you get on. You just take whatever looks good to you, you know, you just say, ah, fuck it, I'll sit here. And what blows my mind is people, you know, board the plane and then sit on the fucking aisle. So then everyone else is getting on, and they have to get up and let other people go by them to get into the seat. What the hell kind of system is that? You know, I went to, like, a comedy show that was better run than that, you know, where if you sat down in the aisle, they'd be like, you move to the center, because this place is full. You have to keep moving in, you know, and it's like, look, you're on an airplane, you're going to end up sitting next to somebody you don't know. That's going to happen, I promise you that. This is not, I don't know, I mean, in my entire life, I've probably flown at least 20 times, you know what I mean? Probably more like 50 if you count one flight there and one flight back for my entire life. I think one time I've sat on a plane where it wasn't completely full, you know, where it was relatively empty. I mean, people had a whole row to themselves. Maybe one other time where I had, like, a middle seat empty or something, and that was just very lucky. It doesn't happen. I mean, don't plan on it. Don't plan on... And why do you need to sit in the fucking aisle seat anyway? If you're by yourself, sit on the fucking window seat, man. I'm telling you. Unless you're one of these assholes who has to pee all the time. And by the way, you should be able to make a 5-hour flight without having to take a piss. Okay? Plan on, just pee before you leave, and then you'll make it to the other airport. You know what I mean? You don't have to pee just because you're on the plane and you could. I mean, it's it's bizarre the way that people behave on these planes. They act like they just have to pee. You know, you'll see an adult man get up 3 times to pee on the plane. That's ridiculous. This is also, you know, it always all comes back to the peeing in public for me, but this is why guys should also be allowed to pee in public, because why can't you just pee on the plane? It's fine. They should give you, like, some kind of little catheter thing if you want, and you can just pee it all up and then throw it away at the end. Who cares? Jesus Christ. It's a fun game, too, if you're sitting, we were sitting in the very back row on the way back. You can time people how long it takes them in the bathroom based on their appearance. You know, it's funny because even 2 minutes seems like an eternity, though. And then there's some guy sitting in the back row. I mean, not only are you next to the bathroom, which isn't great, and you can't lean your seat back, which is terrible and should be a fucking discount, by the way. But also, there's always like a guy who's just standing there right next to your seat because he's waiting to go to the bathroom. You know, he'll just be draping his arms over your chair, and you're just like, listen, buddy. Why don't you fucking sit down until the bathroom's open? You know what I mean? This isn't the goddamn bar where you just hang out and chat with whoever's nearby, okay? Which also brings me to... That's why I don't like Southwest more, is because if you sit in that back row and you can't... Your seat can't go back, yet the seat in front of you can go back. And it's not that far, but when the seat in front of you comes back and you can't get back, you have someone's head right in your fucking face. You know, this dumb bald bastard, and I'm just staring at his fucking head all day. For 5 hours. Like, that seat should not exist, or should be way cheaper, or the seat in front of it should only be able to go back half as much as normal, or something. I mean, why don't they just put the seats in at a slight backwards angle, and that's what they'll be at? You know? You don't need to adjust it. It's not, there's like no difference in the adjusting. The only difference is because now relative to someone else, you're way too close to their head, so now you have to adjust your seat, and then the person behind you has to do theirs. That's a total... It's literally the best example of the domino effect I've ever seen in my entire life. You know, if someone said, define domino effect, I'd be like, you know when you get on the airplane and fuckface McBaldhead leans way too far back and then you gotta lean back? That's the domino effect. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. It's just terrible. Oh, and here's another problem. I mean, I don't understand what takes so fucking long for everyone to get on and especially off the plane. What the hell are people screwing around up front trying to get off the fucking plane? You know what I mean? They're like throwing their shit around. They can't remember where their crap is. They're all over the place. It's like they don't even think about, you know, when the plane lands... Get yourself together so you can get the hell off the plane, if you're towards the front especially. Start putting it together. You know, feel free to plan ahead a little. I'm not saying you have to plan ahead in the way of, you know, oh man, you better invest in that 401k. I'm just saying, like, 3 minutes in the future. You know what I mean? This isn't even a lifetime thing. This is 3 minutes in the future, and you could save someone else half their life, it seems like, on the back of that plane. It's a great investment in terms of time spent preparing versus what you get out of it. So go for it, you know? It takes fucking forever. And then, the other big problem I have is the babies. I mean, people complain about babies, I know, and it's like they can't help it. But I think that maybe we should figure out, hey... Why are we letting babies fly for free when really they make it way worse for everyone? They ruin the environment on the plane. You know what I mean? They make it so much worse. If you're seated anywhere close to a baby, get ready to have a fucking terrible time. You know what I mean? You're going to hate it. You're going to hate it. And here's what I came up with they should do. So, you know, they don't charge a baby for a seat, even though they should, because, I don't know, why not? I mean, first of all, the baby should have to pay for a ticket. I don't, you know, it's fine if its parents pay for it. It doesn't have to spend its own money. But it should need a ticket. And then also, and who's to say this baby's not stuffed with a bunch of shit that's going to explode? You know what I mean? I think that's hilarious, too. They have this sign that's like, oh, well, if you're, you know, 70 or older, you don't have to take your shoes off. And I was like, oh yeah, because I'm sure when I'm 70, I'll have way more will to live than when I'm 25. You know, Who knows? If someone said, do you want to blow something up when I'm 70, I would not want to do it now. But when I'm 70, I might be like, yeah, fuck it. I got, what, 3 days left alive? Screw it. You know, might as well go out, huh? You know, or if I had those plans, I think that maybe if I'd reached 70, I'd say, yeah, now's the time. Let's get it on. So the baby, here's what should happen. They buy a ticket. It's like $300, just like any other ticket. And then, you know, you have to pick your seat when you register or whatever they call it, fucking check-in. You pick your seat, and then, you know, the seats around it turn red, and it's like, this is a baby zone. Now, those seats, those people will be aware that they're around a baby, like in a grid, a plus sign. However, that $300 baby ticket, that cost gets applied to the other ticket, so then each person in that grid gets like $50 off. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I mean, it's not great. I would consider still paying more than $50 to avoid the baby zones, but fuck it. I mean, at least you'd have the option. At least you would know what you were getting into. And you would not have to have that moment of terror on the plane. You know, when you're sitting around, you get to the gate, you're checking out who's there. Oh, Christ. You know, you see the big fat guy, and you're like, all right, it'd be nice to avoid him. And then you see the baby, and you're like, oh, shit. Hope that's not sitting near me. And then you see, like, the toddler who's running around throwing a Nerf football, and you're like, oh, my God, I don't know what's the worst. Everyone I see is worse than the last. You know, it's your own personal hell. I think that, you know, on the last show, there's a question about, basically someone said, do you think that we only use 10% of our brains because God built the other 90% in so that when you go to hell, you can fully appreciate how horrible it is? You know, like you've got these other senses and emotions that only really emerge when your other 90% of your brain has been engaged and you're fully in hell. You know what I mean? I think maybe that, like, there's 5% of that 90 that snaps on when I'm on the fucking airplane, you know? It snaps to attention when I'm flying because everything seems hellish. It seems very easy to appreciate how horrible it all is. That's for goddamn sure. So yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice if they did that. I also had this idea, because, you know, everything about it is so terrible. But so I got to thinking, like, why don't they have a 2-day seminar? This is Pete's solution for everything, is like a 2-day seminar, like CPR. You know, this is my solution for, they have these fucking stupid copyright notices at the beginning of every goddamn DVD. You know, right now I'm watching Seinfeld, and if you turn the DVD player off and then turn it on and then put on a new episode, before each time you put on an episode, you have to watch a FBI warning, you know? Like, what am I going to think? Oh, just that episode? Just the one about the raincoats is protected, but this other one about the non-fat yogurt that really has fat in it, that one they were like, eh, screw it, that's not our best outing. We'll go ahead and let that one be, you know, open to the public. I'll just assume that they're all that. So, you know, my solution to that was, like, everyone just go to a 2-day seminar where you show up, they show you the warning, you sign some paper that's like, yes, I'm aware that everything is copyrighted. You know what I mean? I'm aware. All right. We're all good. If I buy a DVD or watch a movie, I will assume that these rules apply. And then we could just forget about it. So, I'm thinking maybe it would be nice to do the same thing for flying. So here's what happens. You show up on day one. And, you know, I think that, you know, it'd be like 8 a.m. on a Saturday, which I would hate, and a lot of people would hate. But, you know, part of the problem with the flying is people don't fly for like 5 years, and then they show up, and they have no fucking idea what's going on. But there's no requirement of you. You can just kind of be there, and that's all you need. You know, if you're willing to do things, then they're like, hey, welcome aboard, buddy. You know, but you don't know anything. So you show up, and you basically, you just go through, here's what's going to happen. When you get in the airport, here's where you park. And don't forget to write down where you parked, because you're not going to remember. It's going to be 5 days from now. then you go in and check in, you know. And if you check a bag, here's how that works. And if you don't, here's how that works. Then they take you through, you know, you go through a mock security line and you practice until you, you know, you get your best time of how long it takes you to disrobe to the right level, go through and come out the other side. You know, and then you get put into a class based on how well you did at that. And then same thing, you mock board the plane, you know, and it's like, alright, you sit, you find a seat, you fucking put your bag in the overhead thing and you sit the fuck down and put your seatbelt on. And then based on that, you know, that gets added into your score, and then there's one for exiting the plane. And based on all these things, then they could create these different classes of travelers, you know? You could say, alright, you're an A-class traveler, which means you approach the security and you're ready to go when you get to the thing. The guy doesn't have to tell you to put your feet on the drawings of little feet and to put your arms up like the dummy in the sketch. You know, you can figure out on your own. Not to mention you just saw 50 fucking people in front of you do the same thing. You've been standing there for a half hour watching people do this, and then the guy at the thing has to say, put your hands up for me, sir. Fuck you! Pay some fucking attention! Oh my god! You know, it's like people get on a roller coaster, and it's got a thing that comes down over the top of them, you know, and the guy's like, I can't lower the bar until everyone puts their hands up. How many times do you have to watch everyone else get on the roller coaster before you sit down and just put your fucking hands in the air so they can lower the bar and the roller coaster can go? That's all it takes. Just paying a little attention. 5% of your life. Just pay attention. Holy shit. What? You have nothing better to do. This is the one time of your life. You got no phone. You have no possessions. All you have is your clothes and what's going on around you. You might as well pay some fucking attention. If you can't pay attention to that, what could you possibly be paying attention to? What could be going on in your mind? You're either completely retarded, or you're like a super genius. You know, you're an Einstein, and it's like, sorry, I'm just solving cold fusion in my head. You know, that's, who knows? So anyway, you do all these things, and you get in the, you know, the A class. So that means you go to the security line, and you wait with the other A-classers. You know, so your line's way shorter. And then, you know, the people who are kind of shitty or forget their watch or whatever, you're in B class now, okay? Now you're in B class because you insisted on having 10 keychains that go to different keys that you have with you when you're flying for some reason. And then there's, like, C class, which is basically, all right, well, if you're going to bring a rolling bag or a baby or any of that shit, you're just, that's where you are, man. You're in C class. Welcome to hell, fucker. I mean, that way, at least there'd be some sense, you know? There'd be some logic. And when you board the plane, you just board by ABC, and it's like, all right, C boards first. You know, they sit towards the back, because they're the people who need to go to the bathroom. You know, and they do things, too. Like, we were at this seminar, they check how many times you go to the bathroom in this full-day seminar. If it's a normal amount, you maintain your class. You know, all these different things. They do a psychological profile. Maybe if you come out good on the psych profile, and you've got no history of any sort of crimes and all that stuff, maybe you don't have to go through security. Or maybe you do go through security, but you're in the A class, and they say, oh, well, you know what? I don't really care if you have a full tube of toothpaste, because, you know, you did the seminar, you went through all the stuff, you submitted to the tests. I have every reason to believe that you're not here for maximum destruction, you know? It would just make life so much better. And then, you know, the C-class gets on the plane, they get on the back, they have to get on first, and they have to wait the longest to get off, because that way, you don't have us A-class people waiting for some fucking idiot, you know, some 90-year-old man who brought a huge rolling suitcase with him from God knows where to God knows where, and he can't get it in the overhead bin because he's 90 fucking years old. Yeah, no shit. Perhaps that's not an appropriate carry-on bag. It's called carry-on. It's not schlep-on. All right? Not strap-on. Ha. Then you got your B-class. Those are the middle-of-the-roaders. Which is nice for them, because they still don't have to wait for the complete fucking idiots. But at the same time, you know, they can see the A-class get on and how they do it. Maybe they'll learn a little something. A little something for next time. A little take-home lesson for them. How to get on the goddamn airplane with a little efficiency. And then you've got me, the A-class. Where we get on, we sit the fuck down, shut up. We don't need any weird crap. We're not like on a 2-hour flight in the middle of summer being like, can I get a blanket? You know, like, hey, do you have blankets and pillows and playing cards? No. Oh, shit. You know, what am I going to do? Borrow some weirdo sweater? I don't know. So I don't know. I mean, this is Pete's classic solution, the 2-day seminar. Everything is about the 2-day seminar with me, you know? This is going to be my book. It'll be me with a crazy-looking haircut that's very of whatever time the book comes out. And I'm standing there in a suit, you know, looking like a complete idiot. My teeth are way too white. And, you know, the book's called, like, 2 Days to the Better You. My various 2-day seminar plans all included inside. Hope you enjoy it, you fucking idiots. You know, I went to a wedding as well. I don't know. Weddings are weird. I can tell that I'm not, I don't know, maybe I'm not ready for a wedding or something, because every time I go to a wedding, all I can think about is how much it costs. Everyone's like, oh man, they look so happy or whatever, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, how much does this fucking, you know, open bar cost or this or that cost? That's all I can think about. I can't imagine if I had a wedding that I would enjoy it at all, because the whole fucking time I'd be going, holy shit, how much did that cost? Oh my God, how much, you know. I mean, we all know how I feel about the children dancing with their parents of the opposite sex, you know. You know, here's the thing. Here's my point about dancing with your parents, right? Like, a daughter will dance with the dad, son with the mom. People say that that's not weird. However, if I said, what would you think if I said, okay, a son is going to dance with his dad? You know, let's say his mom died and he was raised by a single dad. Do you think it would be weird if the son danced with his dad? I do. Now, is that weird because it's a guy and a guy, or is it weird because it's his dad? Because if it's weird because it's a guy and a guy, I don't know. That's crazy, because it's not like they're going to have sex. There's no way this is going to result in sex because it's his fucking dad. You know what I mean? That's how it feels to me, because it's like, well, this is your parent, not your fucking dance partner. I don't know. That whole thing is so weird to me. But I know I'm in the minority on this. I don't know if anybody else feels that this is weird. It seems like no one else feels this is weird. I don't know. Maybe I've got to let it go. But I'm not good at letting things go. I think we're all aware of that quite acutely. But the one other tradition that I think is really weird is there's this thing that people do, like someone will start tapping on a wine glass, you know, with their fork or whatever, and ding, 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 and then everyone starts doing it. And this means that the bride and groom are supposed to kiss. You know, it's like, kiss for us, kiss! And then they kiss, you know, and everyone is happy. I think I would hate that if I was getting married. I don't know, something about it. I mean, again, this is the complete wrong attitude to have, and I know this is a bad thing to feel. But I would feel like, hey, fucko, while you're tapping on that glass, hope you're enjoying the wine contained in that glass, which I've provided for you. Is that okay? I mean, yes. Tap on the glass full of wine that you've gotten for free for showing up here and command me to do something for your amusement. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Fuck that shit. But other than that, it was great. You know, so I got to go to Connecticut. That's one more state off the list. And barely drove into Rhode Island. Purely for the point of doing that. I mean, I don't know what there is to do in Rhode Island or see. I'm sure there's something there. But the way I figure it, you know, I'd like to visit every state. And if, you know, if that means maybe one state you only see a small part of. I mean, that's the one to see a small part of, right? Proportionally, I figure, all right, well, if spending a night in Texas counts as seeing Texas, spending about 8 minutes in the car in Rhode Island counts as seeing Rhode Island. I'm just trying to be fair and balanced. You know what I mean? I don't know if anyone's used that slogan before, but I, you know, that's my thing that I use when I'm judging how I'm doing on something. So you got to see that. Connecticut is weird. I mean, it's different from here. You know, you get on the road, and you're just out on the road, man. You're on these highways that are twisting and turning through these forests, it feels like. You know, these two-lane roads, just going like 40 or 50. I mean, I don't know. I do okay with directions and shit. If we'd driven any direction for 5 minutes, I'd have no idea how to get back to where we began. No fucking idea. You know, usually you go on vacation, and the first day you're completely disoriented, and then slowly over time you become very aware of how to get from one place to the other. I had no goddamn idea. You know what I mean? No idea. I also spent time doing something I'd never do, thought I would do, which is I spent some time petting a retarded cat, which I didn't even know that existed. Let me tell you something. It's a thing. A retarded cat is real. Very real. And I don't mean like, oh, my cat's retarded, like, you know, oh, he ran into the sliding glass patio door one time. No, no. This is like, well, this cat looks pretty normal when it's sitting still, but then when it walks, its front legs are just like two stroke canes, you know, and he's walking across the wood floor, and it's very loud because he's just like, dung, 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 you know, stumbling around. He looks drunk. He looks extremely drunk. And then when he tries to come sit with you on the couch, he can get his front paws up on the couch, then he'll stab you, and then, you know, use the stabbing claws to sort of pull himself up. You know, he can get up on his own, and then he sort of, like, just slumps over onto his side and collides with you, you know. And then he's very affectionate and nice. I don't know, I mean, it was a retarded cat. I never thought I would see it. But turns out retarded cat was probably the nicest of the cats, to me anyway. It seemed very, affectionate and into being hanging out with people, you know, following people around. So I don't know. You know what? Retarded cat gets the thumbs up from Pete. I don't think that, it doesn't seem to affect their mood, or if so, it seems to affect it positively. So whatever. I'm fine with that. I don't know how it happens exactly. It was something like, the mom got some disease while the cat was in the womb. The cat womb, I guess, and the cat comes out retarded. Who knows? I mean, yeah, I don't know. These are things that I guess you would think would be sort of bred out eventually, but who the hell knows? I don't know what's going on with these fucking cats. I'm not a cat breeder. But yeah, who would have thought Pete would go on vacation and the highlight would be meeting a retarded cat? I wouldn't have thought, but hey, what can you do? You know what I mean? These things, this is Pete's life now, I guess, you know? The ups and the downs. The retarded cats and the not retarded cats. It's all there for Pete's enjoyment on, you know, whatever level. I don't know, that doesn't really wrap up. Oh, yeah, so we got to watch some HGTV in the hotel. Some of my favorite television there. It's so annoying. I fucking hate, you know, so we see this couple, and it's these dorks. You know what I mean? I don't know how else to describe them. They're just dorks. They're buying their first house. And you never feel bad for them, first of all, because they never do a show like this. Like, I would love to do a show where you're in, like, downtown Chicago, and, you know, the guy comes on, and he's like, hey, I'm a waiter at Chili's, downtown Chicago, so I'd like to get a place close to my work. I make about $800 a month, plus some tips, you know? So let's see what we can find. And you're just looking at these total shitholes, you know what I mean? It's always people who are like, well, our budget is about $500,000. And you're like, all right, well, I think you'll be okay. You know, nothing they look at to me is outrageous. You know, it's preference. You know, so this guy, the whole time is obsessed about, you know, he wants a place to make his beer. He's a beer brewer guy. He does it at home, you know. Which you're like, well, what do you need, a stove? I mean, I think every house is going to have a stove. And he just keeps talking about my beer, my beer. well, this isn't a very good place to make my beer. And it's not like he's doing a, you know, home brewery. You know what I mean? He's just making, it's a hobby. I don't know. I mean, you figure it out, right? You get a house and then you work around it. This is the thing. This is kind of like the whole theme of these shows. Instead of finding a house that they like and then fitting their lifestyle into the house, everybody tends to think about their lifestyle and then find the house that fits it perfectly. You know, they're like, well, I think we might want to have two kids, so let's get 3 bedrooms. And it's like, well, why don't you find a house you really like and then, you know, worry about the kids when you have the kids and discover that you're barren because you were drinking this badly fermented poison beer or something. And the lady was just as bad, because here were her big things. She wanted a laundry chute. That was her number one. A laundry chute. You know. So, a hole that leads from an upper floor down to a laundry area. That was one of her top 3 requests in her home. I mean, that's crazy, right? You could probably install a laundry chute in any house if you really, if that's what you wanted. It's just ducting in the wall. You know, what? Who fucking cares, by the way? Secondly, and one of the houses did not have a laundry chute, and that was a problem for her, even though the laundry was on the first floor. So it's like, well, where would the chute go from, too? I mean, there's nowhere to put the laundry in a chute. You just want it to be a horizontal pneumatic tube so you can shoot it across the room. That's how you want to live. You need that chute to feel alive. Second thing was she wanted a finished basement because she didn't want to go into an unfinished basement to do the laundry. So, you know, 2 of her 3 things were laundry base. This is how she's picking her home, is thinking laundry, you know, which is another trend. People, here's what they'll do. They'll look at a house and they'll say, you know, this isn't very good for entertaining. This dining room's not very big. What would we do? I can just imagine us on Thanksgiving. And it's like, all right, well, maybe you should get a kitchen that works 364 days out of the year, and then on Thanksgiving, you fucking punt and deal with it, idiot. You know, you just have to, I don't know, I mean, you're not going to have a house that's a transformer that magically changes into whatever you need based on the day. That's not a real thing. That transformer house, though it would be a great animated series or possibly Disney Channel original series, is not a real thing, my friends. So you're going to have to figure something out here. And then her other big thing was no granite countertops because everybody has granite. Which is like, I mean, so this person to me was saying, I don't really know what I want. I want a laundry chute, a finished basement because I can do the laundry there, and not granite countertops. You know, okay. Well, that seems like pretty good. And the other requirement was a spot for this dork to make his beer. These were the things they needed in their home. I mean, yeah, that's every house, pretty much. You know what I mean? Or you could fix it yourself, these things. Then there was this great lady, Yvonne. Yvonne wanted to buy a brownstone in Brooklyn. She was the best. All she cared about was that it had a stoop. And that the people above her would, you know, you own the brownstone, it's like 3 floors, so there'd be 3 dwellings. And that the 2 above her would cover her rent. That was basically all she wanted, you know, and a backyard. So, you know, they go to one and it's fine, but there's a bunch of trash in the backyard. And she's like, Yvonne don't like this trash in the backyard. The fucking real estate agent had to convince her at all 3. She's like, all right, before you start saying horrible stuff, let's actually go inside. She wasn't even prepared to go inside to him. You know what I mean? She was like, one of them did not have a stoop. And she's like, where's my stoop? I don't got a stoop out here. You know, she was the best. She was just, I don't know. The things she wanted were so unimportant. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, getting your rent paid is good, but a stoop? Who cares if it's a stoop? Or there was one and it wasn't actually, it was brick. You know, it wasn't brown stone. And she was like, it's not like I saw on the Cosby Show. I saw it on the Cosby Show and that's what I'm on my house. That's actually what she said. She's like, well, I saw this house on the Cosby Show and it looked good on there. So I figured, you know, everyone's trying to recreate their life, you know, they want to have a Cosby-style life. So they're like, well, if I have the same style of home as the Cosby family, then my dad will be a doctor who wears great sweaters and is jovial, and no one will really ever get in trouble. And any time that we do have problems, it'll be solved in a humorous and quick way. No, idiot. You got to stop acting like you're wrong. You got to stop calling a 20-piece nugget a 20 spot. You know, when someone says, oh, can you loan me a 20 spot? They're not talking about nuggets, Yvonne. Okay? These are the kind of lessons that you need to learn before your life is really going to get a lot better. I don't know, it's very frustrating. People are just so stupid. You know what I mean? They don't really know what they need and what they want, and that those are two different things. I mean, laundry chute, is that a need or a want? I don't know. I mean, I guess, whatever. Fuck them. You know what? Fuck them. They can enjoy their stupid house and their stupid laundry chute, and I hope they drink their beer till they get poisoned from, you know, some kind of weird yeast poisoning or some shit. And they pass away in the night. That's all I really ask for out of a House Hunter episode. It would be great if they did that 6-month check-in, they came back, and it was just like, actually, he died from making a bad batch of his beer. He didn't make it. After that, he was done for. You know? Well, I think that's it. I'm at my destination. So I think this recording has come to a conclusion. Thanks for listening again. We had an abrupt end last time because, you know, it was set up that way. By unforeseen hands, right? Keep listening. Put stuff on Facebook that I, you know, on the website, or, you know, if you like an episode, say, hey, this was a good episode of my friend's show, and just put it on there. Just put anything of mine that you like on there. That's all you gotta do. You know, I don't even have a donate button. Someone was like, you don't have a donate button. And I'm like, well, what would donate for what? Donating $50 and then I would just spend it on, you know, Wendy's? How does that power anything? That's going to be worse. Believe me, if I'm eating $50 of Wendy's, this show is going to go downhill real fast. Have a good week.